I've been praying a lot. And I see that God is continuing to show me things, speak to me. And I just pray it continues. I want God to do a refreshing in my life. I want Him to do it in all of our lives here. We all need a new touch from the Lord. We need Him to do something special in us. God needs to be constantly working in all of our lives. That everything that's crooked needs to be straightened out and made right. Today I'm going to talk about we need vision. We need vision. Let me start off with a story, and Bob, hopefully this doesn't offend you at all, because it's going to mention Walt Disney. Let me tell you this story. Walt Disney was a remarkable man of vision. And Walt Disney was a dreamer. His crowning vision was Epcot, the experimental prototype community of tomorrow. He envisioned this perfect city of 20,000 people using all the most modern advances in technology. One problem. Walt Disney died before his dream was ever realized. And his dream was so big and complex and outside of the box that no one else in the Disney company ever caught the dream and had the idea to do what to do after Walt Disney was gone. What Walt Disney intended as a living, breathing, perfect city turned out to be only an entertainment center. Disney World would only become a place to visit. You know, Yeshua left a blueprint for the body of the Messiah that was so vast and so marvelous and so innovative. A living, breathing, expanding organism that would permeate and transform the entire world. The problem is that as time went on, his followers lost the vision and couldn't wrap their minds around such a magnificent plan. Rather than a community, we're talking about believers, rather than a community of loving and passionate followers of the Messiah, dedicated to demonstrating the power of a Messiah, transformed life in a dark world, they began to do what they knew best. They started building edifices, building cathedrals, and run organizations, and develop entertainment centers that would hopefully draw the crowds to hear the story, but miss the transforming power of the Messiah. And we see that throughout America, where there are edifices, cathedrals all over the place. A lot of them have become entertainment centers. People come to see all the flashing lights and the smoke and all the all the entertainment aspects of it. People come, they get drawn to messages that talk about just prosperity and how to get rich and wealthy and how to be blessed. But we don't see the transforming power of the Messiah. And that's what we need to see. We need to see it here, the transforming power of the Messiah in our lives. Helen Keller was probably the most recognized blind person who ever lived. And she once said, "What would be worse than being born blind? To have sight without vision. To have sight without vision." I'm convinced that most of us have no vision for our lives, for our families, for our synagogues and churches. We have no vision for it. I'm convinced that God desires to give us a glorious and gigantic vision of what could be if we only pursue the very heart of God. What does it mean to have a vision from God? How do we get a vision from God? Once God gives us a vision, then what? What do we do with this vision when God gives us a vision? You know, I am excited. I am excited about what God is presently doing at this synagogue. I'm excited. I'm excited to see at 10 o'clock groups of people here praying for God's will and God's direction. I'm excited. I'm not discouraged that today we have what looks like a lot of people missing and fewer people. I don't care. I'm not going to be looking at the numbers. I'm not going to be looking at the finances of the synagogue. I'm seeking God with all of my heart. And when I do that, God is going to do all the rest. And we need to all be seeking God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. I'm excited about what I see God desiring to do through you and me here at this congregation. I believe that God has an incredible future planned for this congregation if we only pursue the vision that God has for us. Proverbs 29:18 says the following: without a prophetic vision, the people throw off all restraint. But he who keeps Torah is happy. Now you probably haven't heard this version of it. This is from the Complete Jewish Bible. But King James Version says, where there is no vision, the people perish. However, the proper meaning of the Hebrew is restraint. It's not perish. In other words, when people are left to run wild or loose, and they lack restraint, separated or distant from the Torah, like Josh mentioned earlier, distant from the Word, from the Torah, life becomes an utter mess if we distance ourselves from the Torah, from God's Word. So thank you, Josh, for that, because that goes exactly with what I'm saying here. If we run wild, loose, without, and we lack that restraint, separated and distant from the Torah, our lives will be a mess. There is a reason why God's people have visions that burn within them. The reason is God is a God of vision. He is a God of vision. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, said in Romans 4:17, Abraham is our father in God's sight because he trusted God as the one who gives life to the dead and calls non-existent things into existence. For he was past hope, yet in hope he trusted that he would indeed become a father to many nations. And we have to have that same vision to see beyond ourselves and even beyond our lifespan into the future, what God has for us and God has for our families and God has for the synagogue as well. But what does it mean to have a vision from God? And that's a question that has been the subject of hundreds of books. You can find many books. Go to the Christian bookstore or Amazon. You're going to find hundreds, if not thousands, of books on that subject, about a vision or visions from God or whatever. And there's many answers to that question, but I believe the biblical answer is this: a vision from God reflects the heart of the Father for His children instead of reflecting what I desire for myself and for others. It has to reflect the heart of God. And that's what's so important. We all need to be hooked into that, the heart of God. Not my will be done, but His will be done. Not what I desire, but what God's desire. What is the will of God? Not my will, but Your will be done. We need to know the very heart of God. When God gives us a vision, It will reflect his heart for his children. If we will remember that, it will help us to avoid a lot of heartache and a lot of frustrations with the ways of Almighty God. If we know it's got to be God's way, God's heart, God's vision. But how do we get a vision from God? I believe it begins with deep and sincere prayer. Seeking the very heart of God for our lives, for our families, for our congregation. It's asking God, what is your perfect will? Abba, Abba, what is your perfect will? What is it that you desire? What should I do for you, O God? It's not asking God for things. We spend so much time, we call it prayer when we come before the Lord and ask Him and ask Him and ask Him, give me this, give me that, I need this, I need that, give me, give me, give me. That's not prayer. That's not seeking the heart of God. It's asking Him to reveal what His perfect will is and give us a clear understanding of the next step that we need to take. It involves humbling ourselves before God and coming before Him with no agenda other than the desire to hear from heaven. We need to hear from heaven. That needs to be the agenda. Not my will be done. His will be done, as I said. It means laboring in prayer until we hear Him speak to our hearts. And I'm not trying to brag. I'm not nothing. I'm just saying I'm spending the most time in prayer that I've ever spent in my life. Something took place in my life within the last month ago. God got a hold of my heart, and instead of prayer being laborious, now I look forward to doing it. I catch myself saying, I can't wait to go pray and spend time with God. I've never done that before. I've never done that. God has taken a hold of my heart, and I want God to take a hold of all of our hearts. It means, again, laboring in prayer until we hear Him speak to our hearts. It means being consumed with a burning passion to touch the very heart of God. I remember a while back, I think this was when I was on my back for 3 months earlier in the last year, March, April, May. I remember seeking God with all my heart. But I tell you, it's not like I'm doing now. I'm telling you, I'm not bragging. I'm not trying. I don't want you all to say, good, you know, wonderful. I want you to be doing this. But a while back, I remember I was seeking God with all my heart, and I asked Him to reveal a vision for me, my family in the synagogue. And I had my eyes closed tight, and I began to see a little cloud above me. And that cloud would grow a little and then retreat back a little. The cloud would move one way or another, and then I would follow it with my eyes. At one point, the cloud grew larger, and then I kind of shivered and I had like goosebumps on me, all over me. I felt the presence of the Lord in my bedroom. I knew He desired to show me a vision. And I didn't at that time. However, I knew it would take much more prayer and seeking. And that's what I'm doing now. More prayer and more seeking, trying to touch the heart of God. But it also reminded me of the scripture from 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 43 and 44. And this is about Eliyahu, Elijah. And it says, now he said to his servant, go up and look out toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing there. 7 times he said, go again. And the 7th time the servant said, now there's a cloud coming up out of the sea, no bigger than a man's hand. No bigger than a man's hand. And Eliyahu said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and get down the mountain before the rain stops you. We have to catch that vision from God. And when I saw that little cloud, but I knew it was going to take more prayer and more seeking and more trusting of the Lord. But as it says here, I believe that rain is going to come. That rain's going to pour down. I'm believing, I'm trusting for that rain to pour down upon all of us here. I want you all soaking wet with the Spirit of the living God. Soaking wet, drenching wet with the Spirit of God. I want the rain to run down our face like the oil running down the beard of Aaron. That anointing, that pouring out upon us. And I believe the Lord was saying to me, I'm showing you a little cloud for now to encourage you. But you'll not see the large crowd, or large cloud, which I see as the promise and the blessing and the fulfillment until you are consumed with passion to seek me diligently with all your heart. I believe that's what God showed me. And I'm seeking him diligently with all my heart. Once God gives us a vision, we must never turn back for what he has placed in our spirit and placed in our heart. We must never stop pursuing the vision. Never, never, never stop pursuing that which God has placed in your heart. Don't give up. Keep pursuing it. Never let anyone tell you it can't be done. You're foolish for ever trying such a thing. Don't let anyone tell you that. Don't let them tell you give up while you still preserve your dignity. Regardless of the criticism that comes our way, regardless of the laughter that may fill our ears, regardless of the condemnation that may be hurled our way, never turn back when God has given you a vision from his heart. And God has, I believe God is starting to move in me in this way. And I want God to move in all of us. And it's going to take all of us here together seeking him with all of our heart. You know, there are some specific things that must take place for us to see the blessing of God. Number one, first and foremost, we must pray. We must pray. And I'm not talking about a short 5-minute prayer, but a prolonged and intense time of prayer where we feel the presence of Adonai in our midst and we know that we have touched the very heart of God. That's what I'm talking about. And I've struggled with this area in my life, all my believing life, I've struggled with this area. Thinking that a little prayer here and there is sufficient to be right with God. And a lot of us in this room think the same thing. As long as I pray a little bit here and a little bit there, a couple minutes here, a couple minutes there, I'll be fine with God. I'm okay with God. That's good enough for God. But I believe the time has come to step up. Step up, people. Step up to the next level and beyond. Don't be satisfied. Step it up. Step it up. Rav Shaul wrote in Romans 13, verses 11 through 12, and do this understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. And the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. People, the day is almost here. It's almost here. Maybe we've gotten a small reprieve here in this nation, which it was a miracle in itself. But the night is nearly over. The day is close at hand. Messiah is coming, people. Messiah is coming. If you don't believe that Yeshua is coming back, that the Messiah is coming back, then you need to drop to your knees right now and repent. Because that's what your faith is all about. If you don't believe he's returning, if you don't believe he's coming back, then you have no hope. You have nothing. You have no hope. The hope we have is the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Yeshua, as it says in Titus. That's the hope that we have. We need to begin to take serious the things of God and wake up from our sleep. Many of us here are asleep, totally asleep. Sometimes I actually catch people sleeping out here. I'm up here and I can see. But spiritually, a lot of you are sound asleep. You don't even know what's going on in the spirit realm around you. You don't even see the warfare taking place. You don't see the lives being destroyed. You don't see the demons all around because they're there. They're real. They have an assignment to destroy you and destroy your family, destroy America. We need to hear from God and be about his business to see the lost saved, the kingdom of God advancing. Secondly, we need to be in the Word of God. Otherwise, we'll be deceived by every wind of doctrine. If you don't know what's in the Word of God, if you don't know what it says, you don't know what's in this, then you're going to be deceived when people tell you this and tell you that. You need to be able to say, that's not God, that's not scriptural, that's a lie. You need to know what God's Word says. Otherwise, we'll be deceived. We need to know what God's Word says and speak it into our lives. It needs to be part of our life. We need to be able to confront the lies and deception of the evil one, as Yeshua did in Matthew 4:10 when he was in the wilderness and he said, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The Word of God is our offensive weapon against the evil one. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 says, it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We need to learn it and live it. Lastly, we need to fast. We need to be fasting. You know, I've never been good at fasting. I'm not. You know where it says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's hard to fast. I know that. It's hard to fast. And I'm terrible at it. Well, last week, one day, I just woke up last week and the Lord said I was to fast that day. I never have heard the Lord say that to me before. And I fasted one day last week. Because it's beginning. I'm beginning to hear the voice of God. But we need to fast to break and loosen the chains of bondage. Matthew 4:2 tells us that when Yeshua was starting his public ministry, he was led by the Ruach, by the Spirit, into the wilderness to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, I'm not going to tell anyone here you need to fast 40 days and 40 nights unless God tells you to do that. And the next 3 years for Yeshua would bring great difficulties and would lead to his suffering and his death. And he needed to prepare for those days to come. And he prepared through those 40 days and 40 nights because he knew what was going to take place. And the devil came to him and tried to tempt him in every way. And he'll do the same to us in our weaknesses. But we need to stand strong in the Word of God and pray that the Spirit of the Holy One is lavished upon us. The Lord says in Isaiah 58:6, Is this not the fast I have chosen? To loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you may break every yoke. It's time, people, it's time that we break those chains. And I think we sang that last week, didn't we, Bob? We sang it last week. And we need to walk in Messiah's freedom and break those chains. The only limitation is our lack of faith and vision. However, if we see with the eyes of the Ruach, with the eyes of the Spirit, we can accomplish so much more than we've ever even imagined. We need to be that little engine. Remember the golden books? That's what they're called, golden book? Yeah. We used to read them to Josh back there, little golden books, and my daughter Tova, and the golden book, and there was a little engine that could. And he would say, I know I can, 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 I know. We need to be able to do that. Yes, Lord, I know I can. I can do all things through the Messiah who gives me strength. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I know I can, I know I can, I know I can. Let me share a story. A story is told about two birds that soared far above the beautiful national park. They flew the same path, at the same altitude, at the same speed. The eagle returned to tell all about the beautiful waterfalls that he saw and the streams that were full of trout, breathtaking landscapes of colorful fields, snow-capped mountains, and herds of wild animals roaming free. And all who listened to the eagle were spellbound in amazement until the vulture spoke with his report. He hadn't seen much of anything except two dead carcasses near the road and some trash on the banks of a stream. I want to be, and I want you, I want us to be like that eagle, the one who had vision. A bountiful eye and a body full of light, and not a vulture that's always looking for carcasses, for things that stink and things that's wrong, always cutting down, always gossiping, always lying. We don't need to be the vulture who attacks and destroys and eats dead stuff, but an eagle that soars and has vision. I want to think about and pray about three areas for myself, my family, and the congregation. And I know these are keys to receiving the vision of God. And I want all of us, or all of you, to join with me. If we repent and humble ourselves in the sight of God and pray and seek His face and become consumed with His word and fast to hear His voice, I know that God will reveal His perfect will for our lives. In the congregation, I believe that God is tugging at our hearts. We need to be repenting, humbling ourselves in the sight of God, praying, seeking His face, being consumed with His word, fasting to hear His voice. When I do this, when you do this, God will reveal His perfect will for our lives, for this congregation. Yes, God is at our heart tugging. I have another little story here. A 12-year-old boy became a believer during a revival. The next week at school, his friends questioned him about the experience. Did you see a vision, they said? Did God show you something? Did you see a vision? Did you hear God speak? The youngster answered no to all those questions. Well, how do you know that you're saved then? They asked. And the boy searched for an answer. And finally he said, you know, it's like when you catch a fish. You can't see the fish. You can't hear the fish. You just feel him tugging on your line. And I just felt God tugging on my heart. God needs to be tugging at our heart. And I'm trusting in the Lord and believing Him that this year, 2017, will be a year of breakthrough. A Shemitah year. A year of release. A Yovel, a Jubilee, where all debts are forgiven. And I want you to feel it in your ruach. Feel it in your spirit. Ask Adonai. Ask the Lord to show you His vision. Blessings are coming. And the little cloud is getting larger and ready to pour out blessing. I'm just going to tell you all, people here, get ready with your umbrellas. Get ready with your umbrellas. For the floodgates are about to open and let loose. And you need to be ready for it. And praying in the Word and fasting. So that we will see it being accomplished in our midst. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I pray, O God, that you would give us vision, Lord. I pray, Father, that there would be a transformation to take place in this body here. I pray, Father, that we would have an all-consuming desire, everyone in this room here, to search you with all our hearts, to be in your word, that it would be consuming, Father, and desirous for us to be in your word, that we would fast, O God, so that we can be changed. Not that we're trying to change your mind, but we can be changed and conformed into your image. Help us, Father, I pray. Show your mercy, O God. Bless us, O Lord. Direct us by your Ruach, Father. We give you all the glory and honor. We give you all the praise and all the worship and all the majesty. For you are worthy, O God.